ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 17, Text 19. Shushrushanam Dvijagavam Devanam Chapya Mayaya Tatra Labdhena Santosha Shudra Prakrita Yastvima Shushrushanam service Dvija of the Brahmanas Gavam of the cows Devanam of worshipable personalities such as demigods and the spiritual master Cha also Api indeed. Amayaya without duplicity. Tatra in such service. Labdhena with that which is obtained. Santoshaha complete satisfaction. Shudra of the Shudras. Prakritayaha the natural qualities. Tu, indeed. Ima, these. Translation and purport by the servants of His Divine Grace S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Service without duplicity to the Brahmanas, cows, demigods, and other worshipable personalities, and complete satisfaction with whatever income is obtained in such service. Are the natural qualities of Shudras. Purport. When the entire social order is functioning properly according to Vedic standards, everyone is happy and satisfied. Although the Shudras are to be satisfied with whatever income they obtain through their service, they never lack the necessities of life because the other orders of society, such as Kshatriyas and Vaishyas, are required to be abundantly generous, and the Brahmanas are well known for being the most merciful of all. Therefore, if all social classes obey the Vedic injunctions, there will be a new and blissful life for the entire human society under the guidance of Krishna consciousness. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदामयं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे ट्रांसलेशन अगेन सर्विस विदाउट ड्यूप्लिसिटी टू द ब्राह्मणास cows, demigods and other worshipable personalities and complete satisfaction with whatever income is obtained in such service are the natural qualities of Shudra. So, we are on chapter 17 titled Description of the Varnashram System and this is in the middle of conversation between Uddhava and Krishna. So, this is called Uddhava Gita. So this is a very interesting and long conversation. So, and this similar description of these qualities of various social orders is also given in Bhagavad Gita. Like these similar verses are there in 18th chapter, like previous verses if you see, verse starting from 16, 17, 18, this today is 19. So similar verses are there in Bhagavad Gita which describes various qualities of each social order. And a particular social order is identified by the qualities they have and by the activities they perform. It's not according to the birth. That's a general misconception in India. They see, okay, this is a son of a Brahmana, so he's a Brahmana. So it's not like that, actually. So Bhagavad Gita says in 4th chapter that according to your qualities and activities, you belong to a particular social order. So that's why no one can just whimsically say, oh, I'm a Brahmana or I'm a Kshatriya. No one will probably say, of course, I'm a Shudra. So but you have to see these qualities. So these qualities are listed here. And we can identify. So these are very interesting. We'll discuss few of them. And today's verse is about Shudras. So generally considered fourth class. But in a genuine, original Vedic civilization, all the orders were respected. Because they are the part of the social body. So it's not like that. It's a fourth class, so we'll try to suppress them or reject them. Even Brahmanas is the topmost social order. They used to respect Shudras because they will serve all the other social orders. So in this discussion between Uddhava and Krishna, this chapter begins with the question of Shri Uddhava. So I'll just read that question. It's a very interesting one, and today we'll try to derive some conclusion out of it. So in first and second text of this chapter 17, Uddhava is asking. So I'll just read the translation. Shri Uddhava said, "My dear Lord, previously you described the principles of devotional service that are to be practiced by followers of the Varnashram system and even ordinary unregulated human beings. My dear lotus-eyed Lord, now please explain to me how all human beings can achieve loving service unto you by the execution of their prescribed duties." So these following the prescribed duties means the Varnashram system. So each social order has their particular prescribed duties. So Kshatriyas have a prescribed duty to fight and administer. So that's why Krishna in Bhagavad Gita tells Arjuna that you are a Kshatriya first. First he inspires him like that because he had many doubts in the beginning. So he inspires him, okay, you are a Kshatriya, so do your prescribed duty of fighting and protecting the citizens. So these are unwanted elements on the other side. So you have to fight. So he was reminding of his prescribed duty. So here Sri Uddhava is asking, so how human beings can achieve loving service to Lord by following the prescribed duties. So what it means is, he's asking how by following the Varnashram system you can get to the loving service of the Lord. So what is that loving service of the Lord? What's the term for it? The Prema Bhakti. So Prema Bhakti is the topmost level of Bhakti. So there are a few steps. So you go slowly up. There are 9 steps. So it starts with Shraddha. So you have some faith, then Sadhu Sangha, then Bhajana Kriya, Anartha Nivritti, then Nishtha, then Asakti, first Ruchi, then Asakti, then Bhava, then 9th is Prema. So what he is asking is, even before Shraddha is the prescribed duty, when they have little Shraddha or no Shraddha, they start their prescribed duties. And how to reach the topmost level of Prema Bhakti. So that's what the question he is asking. So how Varnashram system helps us to get this Prema Bhakti. So that's what we all are also aspiring for, the highest level. That's our goal. So Prema, Pumartham, Anvi, that's our goal of what we are doing every day. So that's our goal, to reach Prema Bhakti. So the same question Uddhava is asking, how to reach there. So then Krishna is giving his answer. So then he describes, okay, how by performing and following Varnashram Dharma nicely, you can reach Prema Bhakti. So now we'll start, we can discuss that why is Varnashram system required at all, if it's required, why is it required? So now in Kali Yuga it's not hard to see, if we see around us, human beings are almost at the level of animals, lower animals. And there is a very nice verse by which we can see that, must have heard. So, Ahar Nidra Bhayam Aitunam Cha Samanyam Etat Pashubir Naranam Dharmo Hitesham Adhiko Vishesho Dharmena Hina Pashubi Samana. So these are the four characteristics which is common between human beings and animals. So eating, sleeping, mating and defecting. Ahar Nidra Bhayam Aitunam Cha. So if someone is only doing these four, so he is basically animal. So even although in the body of a human, but as we discussed, it doesn't matter what position you are in or how you are born as, it's what you, what are your activities and qualities, that's what you are. So if you are born as Brahmana, but born in a Brahmana family, but you are acting like a Shudra, so you are a Shudra. So, if you are in a human body, you are acting like animal, or only these four activities, so you are animal, basically. Two-legged, sophisticated animal. Yeah. So this is the common things. But what is the difference between human beings and animals? What is the additional thing a living entity needs to do to come to the category of human beings? So that's the next line of the shloka, which says, Dharmo hi tesham adhiko vishesho. So this dharma or this religious principles, that's the missing link between animal and the human being. So if you add animal plus dharma equal to human being, you know. So animals, those in animal body are very tightly confined with the three modes. The karma doesn't apply to them. They don't have choice. They don't have much free will. They will just act. They will just do those four activities. So they can't, you know, add dharma or, but of course we have seen examples of animals also taking part in Sankirtan, and if they eat prasad they get benefit. But overall if we see generally, so they are very tightly bound by these laws of material nature. So, but those living entities in human body, they have this free will. So instead of only doing those four activities, which is common, all animals and birds are doing, if they add this dharma element, so they become human beings. So this is, what is this dharma? This is the Varnashram dharma. So this is the first step. To come to the human level, you start following Varnashram dharma. So, and this Varnashram dharma has four varnas, four ashramas. Four ashramas are brahmachari, grihastha, vanprastha, sannyas, and four social orders are brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya and shudra. So when one starts following varnashram system, then he at least comes to the human platform. Then we can talk about bhakti, shraddha and whatever. First we have to come to the human platform like that. So initially, like when we are preaching, so that's why we don't jump straight. So we can start with how Krishna starts in Bhagavad Gita. He starts with, okay, you are not the body, you are the spirit soul, and you are the servant of Krishna, like that. So you have to raise the person's consciousness slowly, so that he can, from the animal consciousness, he can come to human consciousness. Then slowly that nine steps he can reach prema bhakti. So that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited. He was distributing this love of Godhead straight to everyone. This chanting of Hare Krishna, by hearing this chanting, you come to the, slowly by purification, you can come to this prema bhakti platform. So now this we discuss this dharma or these religious principles of Varnashram system and other principles. So this who can decide what this is? Like Krishna says Chatur Varnyam Ayashin. So there's four Varnas are there. Krishna says that. But if someone says there's two Varnas only, or three, or five, or ten. So we're not interested in people's opinions. We are interested in the supreme authority. And who is the supreme authority? That's Krishna. So he is the supreme God. So in Bhagavad Gita also, it says, Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, Mata Sarvam Prabhu. So that from me comes everything material and spiritual. So he is the supreme authority. So we are interested in what's his opinion. So he says there are four Varnas, four Ashramas. So we agree, okay. There are these four. So in Bhagavatam also, Lord Yamaraj, he says, Dharmam tu Sakshat Bhagavat Pranitam. That the Dharma can be delineated only by this Supreme Lord, not anyone. Like, okay, I think this is the way of life. that's not the thing. If you think like that, you're in ignorance. The mode of ignorance. That's basically animal life and mode of ignorance. If one doesn't follow scriptures and take Krishna's opinion, so that's basically very low level of existence. And they will be always afraid and unhappy in that sort of existence. But we want prema bhakti and full satisfaction. We'll discuss in the last part how to get that. Like that. So there have been few examples. You can see examples everywhere in the city of people making their own statements of what is dharma. So if someone makes his own statement, that's not dharma, that's opposite to it. It's called adharma. So there was this personality called Karl Marx. You must have heard of him. So he came up with the philosophy of communism, a classless society, like that. So he says, and he did not much believe in religious principles and religion. So he came up with his own idea. Okay, there should be a society of no class. But Bhagavad Gita says there are four classes: Brahmanas, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras. So he said there is no class. Everyone is equal, like that. So then, in India, I did graduation majoring like in economics. I used to study this economics. So they, but still, when he started in Russia and other places, when they started this communist ideas, so it still two classes emerged. They tried to do with one class, but still two classes emerged. So one was the owners or the property owners, and the other was the labor class. So, and there are terms for that. Property owners were called bourgeoisie. I could never pronounce that. But anyway, working class is called the proletariat. So see, these two classes emerge. So Prabhupada used to say, naturally people have different tendencies, and naturally these classes exist in society, these four classes. So you cannot make one class. So everyone has different nature. So he was speaking in one of the conversations with one of his disciples. He was saying, you know, you have different nature, I have different nature. So how can we one? Everyone has different nature. Someone is good at one activity, so I'm not good at that activity, like that. So everyone has different nature. So there cannot be one class. Someone is good at serving others, so they fall in the Shudra category, socially, materially speaking. And someone is good, learned, scholarly, so he belongs to the Brahmana class. So, but then Prabhupada said, there's this statement, a classless society is possible only when Krishna is in the center. So he said, yeah, okay, your idea of classless society, it can happen, but only when Krishna is in the center. So that's the classless society. So here all are equals. Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and then we are all his servants. So there is no class in that sense. So then he said that. So then in the purport we see Prabhupada writes, if all the social classes obey the Vedic injunctions, there will be a new and blissful life for the entire human society under the guidance of Krishna consciousness. So this is what he is saying. So people are trying to be happy and blissful, so they are coming up with their new ideas and they are not following the scriptures. But in the end, they are not happy. Because of what they created this system, they are not reaching the goal of it, which is given in the system. So if someone has manufactured a thing, he knows how to apply it. So if Krishna has made this society and he has made this social system, so he knows how a society will work nicely. So he has given that if you follow this very nicely, you can. And as we said, this social system is like the social body. We say social body. So this has, like, brahmanas are the head and arms, you know, for the kshatriyas are arms, like that. So this whole social body is there. So at the moment, it's not working properly. So we can see this, there is always war in the society and, you know, disharmony and everything. So why is that happening? I heard in a lecture given here only. It was, I think, Jagata Nimataji, she was giving. So she was saying, if there is a person and he's trying to cross a street and there's his legs, so he has some problem. So he's both legs, both arms and head are working in opposite directions. So when we cross the street, we just step one step after other. It's very simple for us. But if a person has problem, so he's trying to take one step and his other leg is shooting off back and head there, you know, arm there. So it's a high chance of accident. There's cars coming. So he can't reach his destination if all the limbs are, you know, going in different directions. So same for the social body. If all the limbs, all the citizens, all the limbs, they have their own goal. They want to go, one wants to go that side, one wants to go that side. The whole body won't reach the perfect goal. They won't be happy. It's a very strange situation. So that's the Krishna consciousness is the solution for that problem. And in the translation you can see on the board, it starts with this verse basically today tells us about what are the qualities of Shudra. So it starts with service without duplicity to brahmanas and cows, demigods and other worshipable personalities. So like that. So Shudras are actually meant to serve others. In Bhagavad Gita also, when the qualities are described, it says Paricharyatmakam karma Shudrasapi Swabhavajam. So that Shudra's duty is labor and service to others. So he serves. So now it's further explained in Bhagavatam that service without duplicity to brahmanas, cows, demigods. So how can Shudras reach perfection? So this is given here. So if they serve brahmanas and cows and other superior personalities, so they can reach the perfection. And why is that? Because it says these brahmanas and cows, they are very pleasing to Krishna. What's the verse? It says namo brahmana devaya go brahmanetaya cha jagadishaya krishna govindaya namo namo. That so these brahmanas and cows are very, very dear to Krishna. And if someone serves brahmanas and cows, he becomes even more dear. Because, you know, so like that. So there's in Bhagavatam, there's examples how like Krishna would go each day to the forest. He will take his cows and cows will graze in the forest. And then when he has taken his lunch and time to go, then he will call each cow by their name. And when they will hear Krishna's sweet voice, they will run like that. Such a pleasing reciprocation. So the cows are so dear to Krishna. Then also there is example in 10th canto how Krishna, when he is at Dwarka, he is so acting as a king. He is very respectful to brahmanas. So when Sudama, Brahmana, came to his house. So he personally went, greeted him, welcomed him, took him to the most inner chambers, the room where, and he sat him on the bed where, his chief queen Rukmani, her bed, and he sat him down on the bed and he washed his feet personally. So this is, he's setting an example that if God himself is so, he can come down, so why can't we? So he is washing his feet, and goddess of fortune herself, Queen Rukmini, there is a photograph I was looking at in Bhagavatam, there is this painting. So you can see Krishna is washing the feet and Rukmini is sitting behind Krishna with a tray and a water pot and like a maid servant. She is like goddess of fortune, unlimited wealth is at her disposal, but she is acting like a maid servant and Krishna himself. So this shows his love towards Brahmanas and cows and other worshipable personalities, guru. So if someone serves these personalities, so they become dear to Krishna. So that's the whole goal. And also there is a very nice word in the verse for today. It says santosha, and it's described, santosha means complete satisfaction. So this is one of the characteristics of Shudra. In his service, he's completely satisfied. But these days, if we see, everyone is acting like Shudra, if not lower, and they are serving others at the work, if you go. But the master or the boss is trying to exploit, basically. So there is no satisfaction for the servant in general sense. There is no satisfaction. Satisfaction comes if you follow Krishna's system. So everyone is acting like Shudra, but even they are lower if they are not satisfied also. So like that. So this word santosha, this also in verse 16, which gives the list of qualities of a Brahmana, this word is there also, santosha. So this santosha or full satisfaction has to be there in one's, you're doing your prescribed duties every day. But if you're not satisfied within the heart, means there's some problem. You should take guidance. That's all, guidance is required. So I was seeing this, what this word actually means. So this comes from like Sanskrit root is there called tush, or then, tosh, like that. Then this santosh comes, means real full satisfaction. Tosh means satisfaction, santosh means real satisfaction. And like we see, tush means the satisfaction, and then or real pleasure, like that. So Krishna is also called like Toshan Krishna. Tosh means very pleasing, very satisfying. If you see Krishna take darshan, so satisfying at darshan arti time, so relaxing, satisfying and pleasing. So, and for devotees, how do we get that satisfaction? That's also a very nice question. How do devotees get this satisfaction? So in Bhagavad Gita, it's given how devotees get satisfaction. So in the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, it says, Matchitta Madgat Prana Bodhyanta Parasparam Kathyantascha Mam Nityam Tushyanti Cha Ramanti Cha. So this word Tushyanti is also there. So how do devotees get their full satisfaction of heart? By conversing with each other about Krishna. Kathyantascha Mam Nityam. So if you just talk about me with each other, Krishna conscious activities, about devotional service, So basically it's not good association among devotees based on Krishna Katha. We had this once lecture in Bhavan. So the real association of devotees means not just the physical association. It should be based on Krishna Katha. So that's the real association. Then you derive pleasure. Just the physical proximity won't give much pleasure. So if there is Krishna Katha, then you can get good reciprocation. So kathayantascha mam nityam, they always do this interaction, this loving interaction with each other. Tushyanti cha ramanti cha, they are very satisfied with that. So this is the goal, we want to be satisfied. So how to do that? By Krishna Katha and glorifying Krishna. And we see, we were discussing this Varnashram system. So everyone is following their duty. And Krishna is basically interested in loving service. Krishna is interested in loving service. He is not interested in any material gift or anything, because he is the owner of everything. He says, Sarvalok Maheshram, he is the owner, he owns everything. So what can we give to Krishna? You know, even patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhakti aprachati. If you give me a leaf, water, you know, fruit or a flower. So we don't even own that, these simple things. What to speak of something expensive. This simple leaf or something, that's also his creation. But only criteria is if we offer with love and devotion. So that's what he is after. So if we give with love and affection. So also in Bhagavatam, there is one incident which proves this, that once Krishna, when he was acting as a king of Dwarka, he went to a state called Mithila, and there were these two great personalities. Socially, if you see, they were very, there was a contrast. One's name was Shrutadev. He was a Brahmana. He was very poor. He just had very little income just to maintain his family. That's all. Nothing else. Very, very low income. But he was very satisfied because he was serving Krishna with whatever he had. He was serving Krishna very nicely, with loving mood, mood of devotion. So he was very satisfied with that. So when Krishna went, he went with Narad Muni and other sages to the state of Mithila. So there was this one personality, then another personality, Bahulashva. He was the king of the whole that village and other areas. He was the king. And he owned everything that in that region. But he was also a great devotee. So he was detached with whatever wealth he had, and he was also busy in serving Krishna, and that's how he was also satisfied. So these two personalities, materially speaking, they were on a different opposite sides, but both were serving Krishna. So that in that way they were very satisfied. So when Krishna came to this state of Mithila, these both personalities came to greet him. So Krishna was so pleased with both of them, so and both of them invited him to come to our house. And king said, come to my palace. The Brahmana said, oh, come to my house, I want to serve you personally. So what Krishna did, he is unlimited in his reciprocation. We can't do, we are very limited. So what he did, he expanded himself. He went with the king also, he went with the Brahmana also. And then they both could serve him and worship him as they like. And everyone was happy and blissful. So this shows if Krishna is just after our loving service. So whatever services we have, if we do it in a loving way, surrendered way, then Krishna is happy. So first of all, at least we should do some service. The quantity has to be there. So for preaching purposes, initially we have to encourage others to at least come to temple, take some prasad and slowly engage in some service. So first quantity has to be there, then later this is the quality part. Okay, we have to do in a mood of devotion. But if first the quantity is not there, you're not doing service, so you can't say straight away, okay, prema bhakti, do straight prema bhakti. It doesn't work like that. So first you have to encourage each other and new upcoming devotees to serve Krishna somehow, whatever way they can, whatever way they are comfortable in initially. So then they will be very enthusiastic later on as they come in touch with devotional service and devotees. So ultimately this what we are discussing is the Varnashram Dharma. So what is it meant for? So there's two things. we get satisfaction and we have to please Krishna, give Krishna satisfaction. So, which is more important? So, more important is, Bhagavatam says, more important is try to please Krishna, because he is like the root. If you water the root, we are like the leaf of the whole tree. So the leaf, all the leaves will be nourished. If we try to satisfy Krishna, then we will be satisfied basically. So this verse in Bhagavatam says, Atah Pumbir Dvija Shrestha Varnashram Vivagasha Svanushthistasya Dharmasya San Siddhim Hari Toshanam. So what is the San Siddhi or the perfection? So the perfection is Hari Toshanam. That whose satisfaction? Hari Toshanam. So the satisfaction of Hari or Krishna. If we focus by our prescribed duties to give satisfaction to Krishna, so basically whatever is our nature, whatever activities we are doing, whatever devotional service we are doing, if we try to satisfy Krishna, so that's the perfection of our activity, and then we will be pleased like that. So there is a personal incident that happened. Last year I went to India and I was at Govardhan and I was serving His Holiness Devamrit Maharaj there. So I met this devotee there. His name was Janmashmi Prabhu, he's from USA. So he met me, he said, "Oh, what's your name?" So I said, "My name is Bhakti Sardas." He said, "Oh, Bhakti Sardas." He's involved in Mayapur Institute and he's like very scholarly person in all the shastras he has read in and out. So he said, "Oh, okay." He was analyzing my name, you know. He said, "Okay, so what Bhakti Sar means, essence of Bhakti." So he asked me, "Okay, what is the essence of Bhakti?" So I was, he got me cornered. I said, I was not prepared for this question anyway. So he asked, "Okay, what is the essence of Bhakti?" So then I just tried to make, so this question has many answers, not all wrong, and many answers can be right. So I just said, "Oh, okay, I'm here serving my Guru. So service to Guru and pleasing Guru is the essence of Bhakti." He said, "Yeah," he said, "that's not wrong." then he gave some his scholarly answer from Nectar of Instruction and other books. He said, "See," then he asked later, "Okay, what did your Guru say when he gave you the name?" I said, "He didn't say what is essence of Bhakti. He just said Bhakti Sar means essence of Bhakti at the initiation time." I just said, he said, then ask him. Ask him what it means. So I said, "Okay, I'll ask him." So then I went and I asked His Devamrit Maharaj, "Okay, what is the essence of Bhakti?" So he said, immediately, just not even 1 second he took, he said, "Essence of Bhakti is pleasing Krishna, to please Krishna." So this is the thing. So that's what this verse says, San Siddhi Hari Toshna. So Hari Toshna means pleasing Krishna. If we please Krishna, that's the essence of whatever we are doing. So we have to try to please Krishna somehow or other. So then we will be satisfied and happy like that. So, and how does this Varnashram fit in that? So we are also following Varnashram. We are doing services according to our nature. If someone likes to do physical work, heavy lifting, you can like that. There is possibility of that. Someone is artistic, there's services like that. So different, we have different natures. So you can engage in Krishna, dovetail that in Krishna's service. And then we have different spiritual orders. We have brahmacharis, grihasthas, vanaprasthas, sannyasis. We have, so this Varnashram system is working within ISKCON very nicely. But at the same way, the in mathematics is like a universal set. And then there are subsets, various. So this bhakti is like the universal set, and then these small things, details are there. So basically, you have to perform, concentrate more on this bhakti aspect. Whichever ashram or whichever nature you are in, we have to think of doing loving service. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Tasma sarveshu kaleshu ma manusmara yuddhacha." So he is encouraging Arjun to in Bhagavad Gita to. You fight, but so you fight means you do your prescribed duty. But then he said, "You think of me, ma manusmara yuccha." You think of me and fight. So at the same time, he's performing his prescribed duty as a kshatriya, he's following Varnashram, but he's thinking of Krishna. Does that Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam. So Smaranam, that's one of the devotional activities. So he's doing bhakti. So he's thinking of Krishna. So in that way he's performing. So whatever activity we do, we should perform that way. So I would like to end there. And if someone has any questions or comments, you're most welcome. Respect from Brahmana to Shudra.
To each other.
Mm-hmm. Is that equal? Yeah.
If there are respect to each other, different or equal? I mean, the strength.
So, okay. Yeah. So, question is, they are totally at different, they have different natures and they have different, at different levels. So what type of respect do they give to each other? So they give respect to each other in a way, they don't lower their position. Like a Brahmana won't lower his position. He will do his activities and he will encourage a Shudra. If he is serving, like Shudra's duty is to serve the other Varnas. So Shudra is serving Brahmanas, Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. So when like a servant does service, so he encourages him. Oh, very nice, you have done very nice service to me. And and Brahmana's duty is, he studies Shastra, he teaches Shastra, he gives charity, accepts charity. So he is very charitable towards Shudras. So in the verse also it says here, the answer is because although Shudras are to be satisfied with whatever income they obtain, but their service, they never, through their service, they never lack the necessities of life. And then it says, Brahmanas are well known for being the most merciful of all. So they are so merciful, they are giving charity to everyone, Shudras. And in that way they are respecting the Shudras. They won't, they give concession to their position and come low. But that's the social order. That's how it ideally it used to work. So they will give respect. And the Shudra will try to serve the Brahmana. So that's the social order. But for us, what's important to understand is, so we all are not trying to be like a, in that sense, that perfect Brahmana or Shudra. Our motivation is basically to serve, become servant of Krishna. So that way we give respect to everyone. We call Prabhuji or Mataji that, oh, you are my master. I am your servant. So we consider everyone as master. And in the same way, a senior devotee doesn't make concession to his position. He is trying to serve the junior, but he is trying to do that in an encouraging way. Like a spiritual master, like Prabhupada said, these my disciples are sent by my spiritual master and I am serving them. But he will also chastise them because that's his service to correct them and to that's for their benefit. So that's how they in respect. So that's how they will give respect, senior to junior. So the respect is different, but for uplifting each other. Does that answer the question? Any other questions or comments? Yeah.
You mentioned that Brahmana, Shudra, Vaishya, not by birth, and the qualities and nation. So I have the understanding that once students get training from Gurukul, Guru decide, Guru tells them that you belong to this ashram, isn't it?
Yeah, that's ashram. So only three ashram, three varnas, student, their students will be from three varnas. Brahman, Vaishya and Kshatriya. That's what I heard. As far as I know, the three, these three will go and they will get Brahman Diksha. Sorry, not Brahman Diksha, Upanayanam or something. The thread, the sacred thread, these three classes will get. So what was the exact question?
Yeah,
so
even I read Prabhupada's book, Prabhupada is saying Shudras were not allowed to go in Gurukul and train under Guru, Master. But that contradicts the statement that it looks like it's bodily conception. You know? They born in Shudra family, that's why they are not allowed to enter into Gurukul. But we say,
but still they are doing the same thing. They service with without duplicity to Brahmanas. So they are also serving. And all the other three classes who go to the Gurukul, they serve the Guru. It says here, where it says, Devanam, of worshipable personalities such as the demigods and the spiritual master. So the three classes which go to the Gurukul, three orders, they serve the spiritual master, that's like serving a worshipable personality. And Shudras, what they are doing, they are also serving Brahmanas and cows. So basically this whole, there is no discrimination, because according to their nature they are engaged, and everyone is encouraged to serve these personalities of Brahmanas and cows and Krishna ultimately. Samsiddhim Hari Toshnam. So what is the perfection of any of this class? To give satisfaction to Hari, of satisfaction to Krishna. So it's not like that they will be discriminated, or they are not allowed to go to Gurukul. But that's their nature, and they won't be dissatisfied with that. They'll be happy in doing their service. They'll be happy because that's their nature. So they're engaged in according to that nature, they'll be happy also. But these days that's not working. It's Kali Yuga. So that's why Hari Naam Eva Kevalam, Hari Naam Eva Kevalam. You chant Hare Krishna, so you reach the perfection of Varnashram. It's an engaging service of Krishna and devotees. Does that answer?
Yeah. And is there any more reasons like cleanliness and the
Yeah, could be. I haven't extensively read or something like that why they are not allowed to go. But main thing is they are engaged according to their nature, which is what's their nature, and then they are satisfied. So ultimate thing is goal is not going to Gurukul. Goal is to reach this loving service. That's what Uddhava asked in the beginning. How does all human beings reach to this level of loving service of God? So how? So we have. So according to the nature, they are engaged, and then they. But all of them reach the same goal, as we discussed. That man is there, one is heading there. So if it's not synchronized in harmony, so the social body won't reach. So they are cooperating with each other, all these social orders. So then all will reach the same goal of Sansiddhim Hari Toshi. Any other questions? Yeah, so as you said, first point that this varnashram pertains to body, that's a bodily conception of life, and we are trying to realize the spirit soul. But we have to understand, if you read Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada's purports, he describes swadharma. Swadharma is your own natural duty. So that is of two types. One is, if when you are in conditioned state, So we all are in conditioned state, we are not in liberated state. So in conditioned state one has to follow varnashram. So that's why we said, like here also, we follow varnashram. Although it's external and bhakti is above it, but still we follow. So we do both. We do bhakti also and externally follow varnashram also. Although it's according its bodily conception, but we are in that conception. So that's why we follow it. So, but once one is liberated, then he acts avdhuta level. So we externally we follow that, but in a loving mood. The mood is devotion. So does that satisfy you? Any other question, comments? Last one. It is running short. Okay, thank you. We'll end there. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.